Thank you.
Good to go? Okay. Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for attending this presentation. As already read by Margaret, sorry that the title is quite a handful, so I managed to condense it this much. And then, as you can see, there is a word cloud here. This represents the different languages that have been documented by the LDTC program. And Javanese and Okinawan are bigger because there were several more people who did it. So it's not prevalence or anything. It's just number of people who did it. A little bit of the outline. I'll give you a little bit of my perspective and qualification, and then start with the facts and information about LDTC, the phases of curriculum they've gone through, and also the, you know, like any program challenges, accomplishments, impacts, and also future directions. First of all, I'm very nervous because this is a huge room, and I'm not a linguist, actually. I'm actually a participant of Language Documentation Training Center. I'm not a linguist in any academic sort of way. I'm actually undergraduate. When I was an undergraduate, I came here doing my business degree, and I'm actually originally from Jakarta, Indonesia. I'm of Chinese descent, and I'm doing my project with LDTC on the language of Tongboi, which is a Hakka variant spoken in the island of Bangka in off the coast of Sumatra. And I've been a participant since fall 2006, and I've been there and refused to move away for quite a number of semesters, 9 semesters. I've outlived most of the, not outlived, but outstayed a lot of the directors and volunteers and mentors over there. And I also managed to put in 3 different site visits back home to record and gather data. Pictured over there is me soliciting information and interviewing my uncles and aunties. Motivations why I joined and stayed for 8+ semesters is because as a heritage speaker of a Chinese language in a country that was kind of oppressing the minority languages and culture, especially they were banning Chinese culture up to 1998. It was hard to kind of figure out my own background. So after 98 and I had the chance to go abroad, there was more access to information for me. And also I noted I have language attrition. I can listen very well to the language, but I couldn't really speak it well. My tone will be all messed up. So that's several of the motivations I joined LDTC. I made a different presentation just on this matter, and that's a different presentation. So moving on to LDTC, remember this is from the participants' perspective. It started in 2004. The format is mostly 8-week workshops within a semester, and the goal is to train native speakers of languages to document their own language. And so far we have about upwards of 80 participants with 75+ languages that have been documented. And the way we do it is that the program has 2 directors. These are graduate students in the linguistic program, and they are, I think, graduate. They have the graduate assistant position in the department. And we also have volunteer mentors who are from the linguistic department, graduate students too, and they are paired one-on-one with different mentees. And pictured here, some of the interactions we have in the workshop, helping participants to do their transcribing of recordings. And up here on your left is my mentor, Justin. This is during his visit back to Indonesia, where he was able to gather more information and understanding about the language that I'm documenting. More about the participants, mostly are University of Hawaii students, just a few from Hawaii Pacific University, or even there's 1 or 2 high schoolers. And most of the participants are coming from the East-West Center. We're right now using an East-West Center facility. And so there's a East-West Center, EWC, is a very good source because a lot of participants are coming from Asia and Pacific, and they all speak different regional languages or dialects. And to kind of have a number, Indonesia has about 25% of the total participants. East Timor has about 10, and Pacific Islands have 8. In terms of mapping, this is the focus, as we I've mentioned earlier, mostly in Asia Pacific, but we also have people documented Native American languages in New Mexico, and also language in France, but not pictured here because it would make the map too small. Phase one, this is the curriculum endured or went through several phases. First one is quite basic. We just learn about basic linguistic concepts, learn how to use toolbox, how to record stories and words in our own languages, and also a simple web page using free software like NVU. And this is one of the products. It is a Balinese language. And also students at this time were encouraged to create a poster, like the poster session, to kind of display what their language is all about. Phase two was marked more with uniformity because the program introduced a template, so people are required to come up and fill in all the different menus here about the language, sound system, bird story, morphology, syntax, Swadesh list, and the language use. And if you, like me, I've done it several semesters, 9, so you can add more stuff to it. And eventually I might have to grow out of it because it might not look good if I just keep adding stuff there. And so aside from the pre-made templates I mentioned earlier, this is also the start of advanced workshops. Because the people who came in with me, my batch, a lot of us decided to continue with the participation. So the workshop, starting from phase two, have two streams, kind of, basic workshop and then the advanced workshop. In advanced workshop, we learn about writing grants, how to deal with IRBs, and then what to expect in field work and things of that nature that are not covered in the basic ones. Phase three is kind of on the other side of the uniformity. People are pretty free to come up with their own final project for the workshop. Content is pretty much about the same, but we introduce the use of digital recorders for participants too. We only have 2 recording booths, so this kind of helps speed up the process and also help them get familiarized with digital recorders like this one right here. And we also introduce Lexic Pro as supplement to Toolbox. And one good example of usage by an advanced work participant is from the Konjo and Bugis Bulukumba, spoken in Sulawesi, Indonesia. The person managed to create a 4-way dictionary that is complete with sound files, sample sentences in English and in Indonesian, and also and some pictures. And this is quite a massive undertaking, and he is promising to continue doing it because this is one of his passion. Another example is the Ifugao from the Philippines. The person is a student in the travel industry management program, so he wanted to create a website where there are phrase books for people who wanted to visit the Ifugao area or Ifugao speaking areas, and they can be able to speak or say phrases in the restaurants or say greetings or what to say when they do shopping. And then here we are right now is the phase four, the hybrid mode, I call it. And this is more kind of picking up the positive sides from the previous phases. So that's why some flexibility, but also there are some basic requirements. That's the return of the template as a framework. Thank you. And this is also when we came up with the idea of signing up as a campus organization to tap into the funding resource of the campus, because as you might know, funding is always an issue everywhere. So this way we have a different channel for getting funding for more promotion, outreach, spread awareness. Especially UH and Hawaii is quite a melting pot. A lot of people speak different languages other than English, so that it's a good source of participants. So That's why we want promotion, recruitment, events, and then food will supplement. If you see it from the bottom, food will support events. Events will support recruitment. I should have put it the other way around. But anyway, and a very good example of project from this phase is the Batak Angkola website, because Zulhan here has an experience in web design and creation, so he put his skills to it and make it very nice. And I think this is one of the best project website I've seen, and definitely better than mine, because mine is kind of clunky. And at the end of the 8-week workshops, we have a closing ceremony. During those closing ceremony, all the participants will present shortly, briefly about their project. And then, of course, there's food. There's food, there's eating, and there's also appreciation, giving of a gift card, certificate on gift card by the program director. And then photo finish between with the mentor and mentee. So it's all good. Now going to some challenges that we have been dealing with. As I mentioned earlier, funding, because the big chunk of the expenses probably comes to gift certificate for participants, because we wanted to encourage participants to keep doing documentation, also attract them to do it, and also attract them to keep doing it. And with we addressed that a little bit with signing up as a campus organization through the LDE initiative earlier. Another challenge is differing interest between mentors and participants. Maybe the mentor wants to help somebody document language in the South Pacific, but maybe at that same time there's only people from, I don't know, other places in Asia or Pacific. So that's one challenge. Another challenge is that maybe participants are not very clear in terms of what project they wanted to do as a product for their website or in the end, and or what are the expectations. So sometimes that gets a little bit unclear. That's why the phase four is kind of trying to address all those different issues. And the concern that I have before and still now is continuity and follow-up. After their first time, a lot of participants or even mentors only do it as a one-time thing, and we would like to encourage people to do it more as a continuous progress, and then they can do it back home so that it would be a good thing, because that's pretty much the goal of LDTC. And we've been having quite a good result with the advanced workshop. We have at least three, four people per semester this past 2 years at least doing advanced workshop, and then they can continue on later. And the other challenge I forgot to mention is that because of the website is hosted in UH, then some of the students might not have access when they go home. So that's another thing we need to also think about in the future. Some accomplishments, like I mentioned before, there's about 75 languages already documented in the past 6 years. And those projects have been archived in our institutional repository, ScholarSpace. And continuing participants have been able to secure funding from UH and also from outside. Like pictured here is Jacinta. She is from East Timor. She was documenting Tetun and also Mambae. And she got funding to go home to East Timor and record and gather data and then come back here to present her findings in a symposium. And also I know of participants who have secured funding from Foundation of Endangered Languages or Endangered Language Funds. And lastly, we are able to provide information about languages that have been documented with us. And on a separate website within the linguistic program, we have this API that shows a lot of the different area of languages that have been done by not just people in LDTC, but also faculty, PhD, and MA people in the Department of Linguistics. Oops. Some impacts. For the graduate students, they get experience in organizing a workshop, also teaching in the different sessions about about translation, about morphology, about using EnView toolbox. And they also get the feel of curriculum design to get a more wholesome approach to the workshop. And they're also to get they're also able to get work closely with native speaker, and consider it like an on-campus field work training, because you have the native speaker on campus, and then so that you can kind of get more experience before you go to the field itself. And this adds to another angle of their language documentation focus in their graduate program, aside from attending classes, also maybe reading, writing, editing journals. They are also attending conferences like this one. They're also able to interact with the participants. And for the participants themselves, they when they do this, they get excited more about their language, about their culture, and sometimes they find out more different things that they might not know before. And that's always the case with me or with the other students too, because people have different experience. And those of their own personal experience add up to those corpus of, you know, knowledge of the language and also of the culture. And some future directions. I've been helping a researcher in Arizona. She's been doing the program. We've been collecting data through surveys and interviews for program evaluation. Hopefully this will be written up and then it will be published in a journal. And then we would like to increase campus involvement. This has been started this past few years with collaborating with East-West Center students, doing the Language Diversity Day. And then also we have Manoa Experience here, which is an open house for the community to check out the campus and university and what they have to offer. And LDTC was there to also show its wares. And then we can do all that as part of building awareness about language endangerment, language documentation. We could follow suit from other successful program like SOAS Endangered Languages Week with showing of movies and public lectures. And eventually what we want to do is to for the participants to go home, and then they can encourage their fellow community members to also document their languages, especially in languages language hotspots around the world that are threatened. So that's my spiel, and I'm done. This is the website of LDTC right now, and they're recruiting for February 24 start of the workshop.
So that was a beautifully timed presentation, and we have 10 minutes for questions.